Ladies and gentlemen, I was hoping for a few late arrivers. And we're really pleased that Gene... Oh, there they are. There they are. Really pleased that, Jeannie was here on time. And congratulations and thank you. You're worth waiting for any time, Jeannie.
Oh, whoa.
So let's go ahead and call the meeting of the Cache Valley Transit Board of Trustees to order, and it's good to have you all here. You have copies of the agenda and the minutes in front of you, I believe. And it might be nice if we could get a combination motion to approve the minutes and the agenda, if you feel so inclined.
I move that we approve the agenda and the minutes.
Mr. Quayle made that motion to approve both.
I will second that.
We have a second, Jeannie. Is there any discussion on that? Corrections to the minutes from the last meeting?
Yeah, there is some corrections to the last meeting.
Okay, let's hear them. Thanks, Eric.
Let's go to line number 181. So it states that Eric Ashcroft states that the midpoint for most organizations is $190,000. I stated that the midpoint for Todd's pay was $109,000.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a substantial increase, wouldn't it?
Good catch on that.
He already makes too much. We know that. Yes, we do.
Then the other part says Eric Ashcroft stated that executives are willing to work for less to live in Cache Valley. Well, before it said Sue Sorensen asked Eric Ashcroft where he was getting that information. It wasn't Sue Sorensen, that was Holly.
I think
that's
me.
It was you.
It was me.
Yeah, you asked me. First.
Holly asked the same thing.
Yeah, but Sue asked first.
I asked.
Oh, okay.
And then I don't think you heard her, so then I asked.
Okay. And then Eric Ashcroft said that executives are willing to work for less in Cache Valley. Actually, that was Eric Ashcroft stated that Utah State pays 10% below midpoint, and then the rest applies because workers were willing to take that to live in Cache Valley.
I don't think that's true, but okay.
Which part?
None of it. No, I'm kidding.
You said it. It's in the minutes.
Okay. Can we make those corrections then?
Sure.
Okay. Do we feel okay about going ahead and voting with those changes to
I'm
the
fine.
Minutes? And yes. Thanks for correcting that because that was an obvious error, Eric. So, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say no. Thank you very much. The next meeting, and hard to believe December is coming right up. Next meeting is December 12th in this location. And we'll need a final vote on the budget at that time. So are there any questions or comments for management or the board? Do we have any people visiting us today other than staff? Okay, no questions. Do you have your staff member here?
One of them.
Okay, so you want to introduce?
Sure.
I've told Todd that it's nice to meet the staff. We have, what, nearly 100 members?
100,
of
yeah.
The staff of Cache Valley Transit, and it's kind of nice to learn about them and what they do. So, feel free.
So this is Mindy Spackman, and I'll let her tell her about herself, and you can ask her questions.
So, yes, I'm Mindy Spackman. I worked with the Cache Valley Transit District for 9 years now. I started out driving for 3 years. I drove with Eric and with Aaron. And then I did dispatch for about a year. And then I've been in my current position for 5 years. So I do a lot of the accounting, payroll, and procurement, kind of the main things I do. So I recognize all your names from payroll. You'll see my name on your checks, but it's good to see faces to your names. And then within the procurement, FTA has four main courses in procurement, that trainings that I've been to all four of those. So I've had a good background with that and purchasing our buses and anything over the threshold, which is now 10,000. So that's been nice. That's been increased. But other than that, I love work, and I hope to have many years to come there.
Wonderful. 9 years. That's good. Where's your home? Where do you live?
Smithfield.
Do you have a family?
Yep. I've got 2 little boys.
How old?
4 and 1.
Wonderful. You're busy then, aren't you? Any questions for Mindy? Any questions for Mindy? So you're treated reasonably well and enough to stay 9 years. Is there anything the management could do or the board could do better or differently?
I think just keep doing what we're doing and just focusing on the positive and growing and helping the community.
Okay. Wonderful.
Mindy's also on our executive team. There's 5 of us that sit on the executive team, and Mindy's a great great source of information and wisdom there as well.
Wonderful. Thank you,
Mindy.
Mindy, very much. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Yes, lady.
So that's good. Feel free to have other staff come and visit with us. So next we have a distinguished guest from Washington, D.C., Mr. Tim Stewart, whom I've had the opportunity to get acquainted with a bit over the last year. And he is a government relations, it says there, government relations expert. He helps lots of local governments with their problems with Washington issues. He helps Utah State University, organization I work for, helping the organization I work for, BRAG, Bureau of Association of Governments. Much of that he does free gratis. I don't know how he makes a living. So,
I'll worry about that.
Okay, all right. So, and he's from a pretty well-known family. Congratulations to your brother from all of us, Chris Stewart, for his re-election. And you'll probably share a little bit about what's happening with the change in the House, right?
And I think just real quickly for the board, because we have several new board members, I think just to give you some history with Tim. So a couple things. Tim, one of the things that I think makes Tim unique and actually makes him a wonderful partner for us is Tim actually trains the staff of the Utah delegation. So most folks come to work for Tim as an intern, and then as the folks that want to stay there, Tim has the ability to provide the ones that are competent and successful. He sees the gems there, and he usually they end up in one of the delegation's offices as a staff member. And so when Tim sets up meetings for us and whatnot, he knows those folks. He knows how to help them be successful, and he also knows what they need to help us be successful. And as much as we appreciate our senators and our representatives, we all know the work is really done with the staff. And so Tim is just such a great resource. And just to give you a little bit of history, and this isn't everything, but just a couple things. So our 3 hybrid buses, Tim helped us secure 100% funding for those. The land purchase out in North Logan, Tim helped us with that, getting the funding for that, and then various bus purchases when we added on to our building, those types of things. And so he's been a great resource for the district in helping us to grow our infrastructure, and we really appreciate that. So with that,
I'm going to add, for those of you that don't know, Tim's a local boy, mm-hmm. born and raised in North Logan.
Right.
Father was
actually born in Washington.
Oh, really? Sorry. Yeah. Then you moved to North Logan.
It's like we lay claim to both.
Okay. And a family of what, 10 children?
Youngest of 10. Okay.
Youngest of 10 children. Your father was the mayor of North Logan City some years ago. So I think it's important that we know that there's a local connection here. So, and you still have one of your kids going to USU?
Yeah, another one on her way. She sent her acceptance letter today, too.
Okay, great.
You've been with us for 10 years? 8? 10?
I can't even remember. I have to go back
together.
Yeah. Do you want to stand or sit?
You need to use the microphone, I'm being
stand.
Told.
It's funner.
So that it's official.
Is that better? Yeah.
I don't know. Is it working?
Is that better? It is up to my mouth.
Boy.
How's that, Curtis? So, if I could build, actually, our intern program is based primarily around Utah State interns. It's the understanding that we need as many Aggies working in Washington as we possibly can. So, the right of first refusal. If there's not a good Aggie, then we'll reluctantly take a BYU or a U of U intern, but for the most part, they're all Aggies. So, where would you like me to start, Todd? What's the?
I think for the board might be helpful to understand, given We just come out of an election, midterms. You know, how does that help or hurt? What are the opportunities that might be out there for the transit district? And what are the things that maybe the transit district needs to do to position ourselves to be more competitive in doing the things that we need to do as far as getting funding?
Happy to do that. And then, you know, feel free to just jump in and interrupt and ask questions if you'd like. Last week was an election, and the older I get, the more...
It's not done yet.
It's still going, I know.
It's still the election.
But for all intents and purposes, unless you live in Florida or the 4th District, it's done, you know. And I was telling some staffers who are much younger than I am that I've got a box of cereal that has a longer event horizon in my cupboard than they have with regards to how history and politics and elections are. This is the third time that I will have worked with a Republican minority minority House, and a lot of the staffers now have not been in that situation at all ever. The last time we were in a similar situation was in a reverse situation was actually after the 2010 election when the House flipped and the Republicans took over as the majority on the House. So a lot of them are in uncharted territory, and there's a lot of hand-wringing about the world's going to come to an end. But ironically, the sun was rose in the east on Wednesday morning, and we all got it and went to work. It is tough when you lose your job or your friends lose your jobs, but the reality is that is the nature of the political system. And divided government historically is actually the norm. What we've witnessed the last 2 years setting the Trump administration and that somewhat craziness aside, the reality is that one-party government all the way across the board is actually far more rare than divided government. So we're actually going back into a political environment that is pretty manageable. And from the transit and the infrastructure perspective, it's actually probably the most ideal situation we could have. Because once they get the investigative urges out of their blood, the Democratic House will actually move to an infrastructure bill, which the Republicans could never do because of the spending implications and the difficulty they had in managing their caucus. So what we have the news will talk about all, again. You have the news will talk about all the different investigations that the Democrats will launch. But the subtext, and over here, what's what they're you're not hearing nationally because the networks don't cover it. But the undercurrent is, and we're also going to get some actual other things done. The infrastructure bill that was talked a lot about last year now actually becomes one of the top priorities for the Democratic House, which can push the Senate and the administration to the table as well. So I think our time is ripe actually. For an infrastructure bill, which will be transportation and transit, and probably a review of both water infrastructure and aviation. So I think we're well poised at this particular point to have a longer term funding mechanism come in place for us. So that's a good thing. Again, I've lived through this. We've lived through this a lot, and. One of the things that has really coming back to actually play to my firm's advantage, I don't know if any of you know, but I worked for two really good members of Congress. One was Senator Bennett from Utah, and the other was Jim Hansen, Congressman Hansen, who passed away today.
I did not know
that. Yeah, he passed away this morning, and I land and I get all these texts saying Jim has passed away. But Senator Bennett taught us something really important. He said two things. He said in Washington, D.C., and he was an old hand, he said, jobs have a lot of friends, and your whole role is to not be friends to the person who has the job, but be friends to the person regardless of their job. And so we've always really, that's been our philosophy, and the result is that we have, and the second thing he always taught and drilled into us was that there's no such thing as political enemies. There's just friends and potential friends. And so we have a pretty good philosophy, and the result of that has been over the course of, and the spectrum of the clients that we work with in healthcare and energy and transportation and infrastructure and appropriations, we've had the opportunity to foster good relationships with both Republicans and Democrats. And as just the luck of the draw is we have a number of those Democratic members who are now in key leadership positions with the flip of a switch and the change in election, that we can go back to them and say, you know, we were friends before you had an important job or an important subcommittee chairmanship. So I wake up Wednesday morning last week, and yes, I'm sorry that there are my friends on the Republican side who've lost their jobs or lost their offices. On the other hand, I look forward and say, and the sun will come up tomorrow because we've sort of covered the spread on things. So that's a good thing. And you and I can need to walk through that at some point and reintroduce you to some of those friends that we've been working with a long time. But I guess where I'm going with that is one of the first few communications we've had is we will be doing infrastructure. Can you help us, you know, build a coalition and push information on infrastructure? I feel pretty good about that. I'm just rambling. What questions do you have? Let's do that. Questions. If not, that was the quickest trip I've taken.
So maybe talk ways in which we can. What are some ways in which we can help the district be more competitive? One project that we've talked about for a long time is a building. How can we be competitive in this process of an infrastructure bill?
Okay. First and foremost, actually, even before we do that, I do want to again remind you of how well perceived you are among your congressional delegation, and by extension, other states that we've spoken with. The reality is CVTD. Everybody loves CVTD because one, you're one of the best small transit districts in the country. That's something we talk about repeatedly. You're fare free, which is an anomaly in their sort of all of the other districts and all the other transportation projects they work with. The fact that we remain fare free still sticks out in their mind. And Todd and Holly and others, Roger, as you've come back and we've done these DC swings once a year, that ongoing just outreach, even when you don't have a particular hard ask for, but the fact that you're there to be able to solidify a political capital and a willingness to assist somebody coming in, because in times past they've come and presented information without a hard ask attached to it. I think that's been a pretty smart strategy for us. Going forward, within the context of this infrastructure bill, the pay for still is the biggest challenge, and it is. We imagine that the Democrats will just say, "Well, we'll forego pay-go rules, we'll forego budget rules, and we'll just roll out a multi, $100 billion, $600 billion, trillion-dollar infrastructure bill," and the brakes will be put on by the Senate, saying that we can't do that. We have our own budget requirements. Those that will be most well positioned will be those who can demonstrate the ability to leverage the federal dollars. And we need to be thinking about how we do that, because we are not fair. We are fare free. We don't have sort of a fare structure or an ongoing user fee that we bring in. But we may have some other options. And that is one thing that we do need to think about going forward, is if we're going to be asking for another, a completion project of another 20 or 15 million dollars, what is our leverage, what is our match, what do we bring to the table versus 100% federal funding? Now, the gods may smile upon us and planets align and it's all, sort of, it may be, don't envision this, but it may be the stimulus package of 2009 where it's just, if it's shovel ready, we'll shovel money to, I don't see that happening. But we do need to have sort of a match package lined up, whether that be funds that we have in reserve or funds that we may be able to acquire from the state or elsewhere. So that's one thing we need to think about. This is the time for the big ask, though. I haven't seen this for a couple of years, but the time to bring in and ask for a $15 million or $20 million project will be this year. So that answer your question?
I think so. I've got a couple of questions. One is, so you talk about this might be the year for the big ask. I know that Utah, well, I sit on the Cache Water District Board as well. Utah has been working toward expanding its rapid transit north to Brigham City, and it would make sense for us to connect somehow to that. Is that the kind of major project that you see an infrastructure bill funding?
I think for us it'll be a two-tier order that we need to fix here in Cache, bricks and mortar that we need to fix here in Cache Valley.
Mm-hmm.
But that leveraging component, if we can piggyback upon a UTA request or something else to expand service, that's certainly an option as well. We're not limited to one ask.
Okay.
We actually have, I envision, having been through one of these before, a couple times actually, a two or three ask. You have to ask for two or three projects knowing that you're not going to get all three, but you prioritize, and it may be that the House can deliver on priority number one and the Senate can deliver on priority number two, and then that we call that a big win. So.
And the second question is, there's a lot of new people that have been elected to the House, people that are not, have not been in Washington or not Washington, you know, seasoned,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. How does the transit district interact most efficiently and most effectively with those people?
Well, you'll focus, you know, focus on any new members you have from the delegation first. Then we will sit down and we will determine who, if any of those incoming freshmen, will be put on committees of our particular sphere of interest or influence. So if there's a freshman who may have been elected from Nevada or Arizona who finds themselves on the Appropriations Committee, we will reach out to that individual. There is a huge shifting of the deck chairs, and not all those freshmen are going to be in a position where we need to foster a relationship with them right now in the next 6 months. But it may be some of those sophomores or those members who have served for 6 years now find themselves on the Transportation Committee that are regionally important to us. And if we don't know them already, then we reach out to them in a dozen different capacities.
So when our group goes to Washington, you will have already determined who those people are? And
yeah, we always sort of pre-bake that schedule.
Okay, thank you.
I can hear Norm thinking there.
Thanks.
That's what that worrying that gear sound.
About the big ask, you know, and we're all concerned about budget deficits at the national level, right, Norm? Okay. And so, give us a little perspective. You know, we had the tax reduction, federal tax reduction, what, a year plus ago. But now the economy is booming, which you would think would generate lots of income tax for the federal government. Is that going to happen? It hasn't happened yet, apparently.
Well, there's, you know, tax, it's sort of a tax receipts are always a lagging indicator. And so you're going to run deficits until the rest of us finish our 6 month extensions. And so post-October 15, when many of the small businesses, in fact, the majority of the small businesses, filed for an extension to be able to sort of really capture what the 2017 package was like. But the other question, and this gets into really big picture budget and dynamic scoring, and the question is how do you actually score the cost of a tax cut versus the potential economic benefit? And it's interesting to listen to the supply-siders argue with the Keynesians versus whether or not dynamic budget scoring is the right way to do it. So they didn't do that with the tax bill, but they did it with the budget agreement, and so it's a little bit off-kilter. It's all, I don't really understand it myself, but the interesting thing is, as a lifelong conservative, member of the Republican Party, deficits when I was 25 years old, that was crushing, and now nobody seems to talk about him anymore, and it just depends on who's in control. So I imagine all of a sudden the Democrats are spending the money in the House, the Republicans are going to get religion again and talk about how bad the budget deficit is, so watch for that. In the short term, though, this is the one opportunity we have, and so if you don't ask, you're never going to receive, so we at least need to ask.
Being one of the new ones on the board, I'm just curious to see how our air quality here, because it is such an issue, how does that play in to the big aspect with the EPA and that, because the need will be great because of our needs here, does that correlate at all? You know.
Well, yeah, we used it a lot until last week, and then dang it, we all got an attainment here in Cache Valley.
We all got what?
Attainment.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that.
No. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the paper.
Really?
Yeah, it was on the first community.
Now in
the yeah, the only one in the state of Utah. So.
Well, Box Elder's not attainment, aren't they?
I saw the headline. But, yeah. So congratulations to the transit district because we.
Yeah, we accomplished that. Okay. I mean,
well,
nobody else
least,
is.
At least temporarily, we've accomplished
yeah.
it.
It's a 3-year rolling
yeah.
average.
But
so you had 3 good years.
Okay.
That is a good question, and we have relied heavily upon the fact that we have no drive days or yellow days and things like that.
Why and we need the connection from Brigham to.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Well, so. I know that, you know, UTA's had the train in the works, but that's a 20-year in the works kind of project. You know, it's too expensive. They can't afford to do it. And they've been acquiring or beginning to acquire right away for the eventual train, for their eventual track alignment. But, you know, between that and the actual putting the tracks down
it's
and putting
out.
The train in is well, it can be faster if you've got the need and the money. So
that's
know.
The big ask.
It's a big ask. Yeah.
It's a huge ask.
Yeah.
Question about Mitt Romney. Is he going to have a major impact on the Utah scene back there, or is it going to be how's he going to play into this?
Disproportionate to a freshman, you mean?
You know, it's a good question. I was actually thinking about that driving up, Dean, and the reason why is because I got a call from last week, right after the election, saying, Romney's doing a fundraiser. And I said, quote, why the hell is he doing a fundraiser? He was elected 24 hours ago. And they want to explain, well, they're trying to keep their staff going and et cetera, et cetera. And it was, and so part of me is saying, look, he wants to immediately jump into a national profile role that Orrin Hatch filled quite heavily. But on the other hand, we do need to give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, the reality is he's the senator from Utah, and in order for him to be successful, he needs to pay attention to Utah, and he's a smart man, and he will do that. So I'm going to err on this side and say yes, he's going to be involved, and he will be helpful. We're going to use him. Honestly, to be honest with you, he probably will have a better working relationship with the key decision makers in the Senate by virtue of his profile and his reputation than probably Senator Lee, who's still working to fix that. So we have to dance with the one who, you know, shows up with the dance card. And so I think from our firm's perspective, we're going to jump in and say, congratulations, Senator Romney, and these are the hard constituent issues that you're going to need to wrestle with, and we're here to help you do that. So this is all inside baseball, you guys, but the biggest challenge, and a lot of us have been pushing in this direction, is you've got to hire Utah staff. You've got to hire people from Utah who understand it. You can't hire out of Boston and Bain. That won't, you know, somebody comes in from Cache Valley and former assistant hedge fund manager will look at you and say, well, I don't really understand, never been to Logan, but I'll be happy to try and help you. That's not helpful anyway. We need Utah staff, people with Utah ties, who can do this. And that's, I think, our most immediate challenge. And if he has that right mix of good staff, then we'll be fine, I think. This is not on the record, right?
No. Erase all of that.
Erase all of that, you guys. So.
Any other questions for Tim? It's great to have your insight.
Thank you.
Anything else, Todd?
So I just want to say Tim's going to leave us, I think. He just flew in, drove up, and he's catching the red eye out. So we appreciate his dedication to come and talk to us. But we thought it would be important.
Wouldn't it be nice if that transit were done?
That's right.
He could sleep.
We thought
the
it
way.
Important to have him come talk to you after the elections. And so hopefully, and if you have other questions after, obviously we're in contact, and we can get those and we can get you answers.
So
thanks for coming.
Do we I'm hoping we have a DC swing planned for between now and March. Is that
yes.
I would
March
strongly.
March 18th to 20th is the one that the county commissioners and I go to.
Okay.
And if we could, you know, time this one the same, I can be there and we can invite Holly.
Okay.
You know,
with Congressman Bishop in his, the autumn of his service, I guess, he will have a couple legacy opportunities too. So I think we need to make sure we help him choose wisely. Yeah.
way to put that. Yeah.
Thank you. That goes with the record too. Well, it's good to be with you. Thank
I said
you.
It. You didn't.
You're right.
Thank
so,
you, Tim. For
do you need
all
me to
efforts.
Stick around or anything? Or?
You're good. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go jump back on Delta and go back home. So.
Well,
actually, not home. Go back to Washington. This is home.
So. Enjoy the view while you go over the canyon. It'll be dark.
Yeah. It was, you know, interesting enough, I actually, was telling Curtis, but I actually flew in Sunday. Had a thing on Monday. Flew home on Monday and came back today.
Oh, no.
So,
Delta knows you well.
Yeah, they do, actually. Thanks a lot.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Tim, very much. Appreciate you. Next item on our agenda is item 8, consideration of tentative budget. As we have been told, we need to approve the budget for calendar year 2019 in a two-step process. Tonight, approve it tentatively. And at the December 12th meeting, final approval of the budget. We had it explained by Curtis quite well in the October meeting, and there have been three opportunities to attend budget workshops that the staff held. So we can do whatever you feel comfortable with. We could ask Curtis to go through the whole thing. We could ask him to give us the summary version of the budget. What's your pleasure, board members?
Personally,
or we could just vote. Like
personally, I feel like we've talked about it a lot.
Heidi said she was ready to vote at 5:45.
Yeah.
No, we want to take ample time and make sure everybody's comfortable. So what's the feeling? Jeannie?
I move we tentatively approve the budget for fiscal year 2019 as presented.
We do have a motion on the floor. Do we have a second to
I'll
that
second
motion?
I'll second the motion.
And we have a second to that motion. Let's have some discussion.
Question
of course, of course.
What is the final portion dealing with that marketing and advertising firm in the year? What last month?
The amount in the budget for.
So what's in the budget is $200,000, but again, it's really $150,000 because we did some adjustment to what we had done and to offset some of that. But the what's for the marketing firm is $200,000.
I'd rather see that going to service directly and not indirectly. I think there's a little bit of a forum here for this. I have some great anxiety that our ridership's been down for a long time, and I just feel like maybe our service expansion, which is the next item on the agenda, maybe we could put this money that way.
Good comment.
Yeah. Just a concern.
And when I saw that, I'll just share my feelings if that's okay. When I saw that, I thought, wow, that does seem like a lot of money, $200,000 to $400,000, and the staff chose the $200,000 option for marketing. But the more I thought about this, our service, I thought it might be a good experiment. It might be something good to try to help people realize the value and the importance of riding transit when they can. You know, so I questioned it initially, but the more I thought about it for a few days, I'm in support of it personally. Now, I understand your concern, Sean. So how do others feel about that or any other,
well,
other part of the budget?
Roger, I would say that I agree with you because I think that while ridership has been down, I think that would be the focus of the marketing efforts in a way for us to measure whether this initial effort is successful. Is whether ridership actually improves. And I think that we often want to be able to do everything in-house and do everything, you know, we think we can do it all at home, so to speak. And I'll use Utah State as an example. When I worked at Utah State, we were in the mode of, well, we don't have to hire somebody to do those videos for us. We don't, you know, we can do a quality of the videos 10 years ago. Look at the quality of the videos 10 years ago and the quality of the videos that they're doing today that I've been seeing on the TV. It's night and day. And it makes you want to come to Utah State because they're so good. So I'm hopeful that spending this money will make the transit district front and center in more people's minds, and they can somehow realize the accessibility and the usability of the system without us having to do it ourselves.
Yeah, well put. Thank you. Other comments?
And I don't think it's not something that we can do ourselves. It's a science to know where your target groups are and how to access them. Because I came out of the marketing office on campus, and they hired people to do it. And when they talk about what they're doing to target these people and know where to get, how to get to and stuff, it's something you've got to be real in touch with them to do that I don't think we could do here. But it will bring in additional riders if they can use their expertise to get to these people.
And I do understand this first brush with them. This is not the whole three-year commitment. This is the first year. And I think that we have the opportunity to evaluate after that, because they're going to focus on the website. Is that my understanding? And they're going to focus.
Already paid for it. That was last year.
Okay.
Yeah, it's done.
And then they're going to focus on some advertising and some metrics and some.
Yeah, I mean, you're correct. So we're not entering into any more than a one-year agreement with them, and much to what you've said already, Jeannie, the reason that we recommended $200,000 is we think it is a good point that they agree that they should be able to move the needle. And we are focusing on ridership, and we're also focusing on, you know, getting the name of the transit district out there, what it is as far as a community asset. And there are definite metrics behind it. And so, again, I support what's been said, that if we don't move the needle at all, then I think there's a real question of, you know, why should we continue in that realm? So this is kind of that entry. We feel like that there's going to be enough measurements that we should be able to see whether or not it's working. And we'll be able to give that to the board on an ongoing basis. But I understand the concern.
I felt the same way as you, Sean. The selling point for me was looking at the companies that have hired them and the visibility. They've done a phenomenal job for some really big names. That really has changed. And I think public perception is as important as the ridership number in that. And so looking into the list they gave us was really, really helpful and a selling point for me. And I'm 100% behind giving it a try this year.
You know, I think so too. You know, we can do all the service changes we feel for the community, but if we don't tell the community, then they don't know that we've made what we're doing. And I think what the advertising company is going to do is get our name out there, get the service out there, and make it work for us. And at the end of a year, I think Jeannie's right. If we sit down at the end of the first year and look at it and say, okay, has it really helped us? Yeah, then let's move on. If it hasn't, then
we need to know why.
Yeah, we need to know why. We need to figure out why it's not working, and then start. Then the board can actually take that on as an assignment to find out what happened. I think it's a good choice. I think it's a good move.
Question, Ron. Go ahead, Lyle.
I think your comments here are great. The question I have. And I think I'm just looking at the minutes from last month. Because I guess the question is, who are we trying to who are we marketing this to? I mean, who's not or doesn't know about the transit system?
I guess a lot of people don't know about it.
Because I don't know anybody who doesn't know about the transit system. I mean, the buses are all over the place, and I'm just curious when they do the marketing, when Rumor does their marketing, who are they trying to inform, and how are they trying to inform them?
Could I maybe get some perspective on that? I think that's a great question, and again, if you you think about it, you see, yeah, I see the buses all over it. You think that. One of the number one questions we still get is, how much is the fare? I mean, that is almost, we get that daily. So we've been zero fare since 1992. One of the other questions we get is, I didn't even know the bus system was here. I mean, as we go around and we do presentations. So I understand what Lyle's thoughts are, because you think that, but it is. There's a lot of people that don't know. And then the added thing of, we really do need to help the community understand what is Cache Valley Transit, because it's more than just getting people on the bus. I've shared this before, and I'll share it again, but I have opportunities to go to various cities and participate in, you know, open houses or planning events, things like that. And often, I'm not going to say always, but very often, I'm talking to people and they'll apologize. They'll say, "Hey, I don't ride the bus. I'm sorry." And I was like, "That's okay. You know, it doesn't work for everyone. Do you know somebody? Do you know a neighbor?" And that leads into a discussion. Oh, I know this individual. And again, this just happened in Nibley, where the individual said, I know an autistic boy that rides the bus every day, and I know he goes to work. I'm so grateful that you're there so he can get employment and he can have function beyond what his family's doing. And so that's what we're wanting to communicate as well, not just about increasing ridership, although that is definitely one of the main goals, but also just to communicate to the community, what is Cache Valley Transit beyond just the people that ride the bus? Because we're all invested. We're all part of this, right? Even though I may not ride the bus every day, I'm purchasing something. Some of my tax dollars are funding this, and I think we want to educate people of that and hopefully help them see what it is that they're doing with their tax dollars.
And I was just going to respond to Lyle a little bit. You know, we're all busy, and there's so many things that we should know and we don't know. Like the University of Utah Medical Center, wasn't that one that rumor said they'd really helped in their advertising? You think, well, does a hospital need to advertise a medical center? Well, apparently they thought they did. I work for a small government agency that's been around 48 years that most people don't know what it is. You know, I mean, we're just all busy and the world's complex, and getting the word out there isn't easy. We don't have the staff now with Cache Valley Transit to do it. We could hire a couple people, and Todd has told me that other transit entities have marketing staff people on board, but rather than hire our own staff and see if that'll work, why not try these guys a year or two? That's just my thought. So. Other comments on it?
One quick follow-up question.
Yes, Sean.
I can't remember from their presentation, but we have lost a lot of ridership in commuters due to a couple of years of some construction issues. I think they had some metrics that were looking at commuters, didn't they, Todd?
I don't remember specifically talking about that.
We're going to do an experiment.
They do have specific metrics that we are going to look at with regards to how the advertisement and various types of advertisement, it's not just one thing, of how those are impacting folks. So on the digital side, it's, you know, how is it pushing people to the website, and what are things that people are accessing on the website. And then that helps us to know more information about what things to get out there. But yeah.
So if there's enough concern, and I'm not sure there is, there's some concern, and we appreciate and recognize that, we could amend the original budget motion and handle this item separately, the marketing item separately. If there's enough concern, somebody could make a motion to deal with this only before we proceed with the main motion on the whole budget. Is there somebody that feels strongly enough that you want to do that? And just see how we feel, the majority.
I just have another question. The timeline, they're going to, have they started the process now, or is this the 1st of January?
Yeah, so again, to what Sean said, the website's completed. We're still in beta testing, so we're still fine tuning. And so that part is done. But yeah, there's nothing, we're not doing anything else until January, because the authorization would be in this budget to start effective January 1st. I mean, they've developed a marketing plan for us. That was also in this year's budget. So we have a marketing plan. We know the target audience. We know where we're going. We know where the $200,000 would be spent and what type of advertising would be initially. But again, some of that will be adjusted based on metrics and reports and understanding. But yeah.
Well, I don't think we need to do another one. You guys have convinced me that it's a worthwhile experiment. But I would hope that about October, September of next year, that we take a hard look at any results, and if we don't see any increase in ridership of routes that have been dropping, if they're not improving, I hope that we will look at it hard next year.
I think this is a great example, Sean, of the budget process. I just want to highlight that real quickly because I think you're exactly right. With every budget, again, we do zero-based budget and we start at zero, and this would be one of those things that we would start back at zero come, you know, the budget for 2020, and I think we should have to justify, especially to the board, of, hey, has this moved the needle? And if it hasn't, then I think we would probably be doing the same thing and going, well, maybe we need to evaluate something differently. But even along the way, we're going to be having reports and bringing them back to the board.
So I assume that they will be coming back in the August-September time frame to talk about their results?
Yeah, and we'll be giving reports even before then as well.
Okay,
yeah.
I appreciate that.
So very good discussion. Thank you all. Okay,
I just wanted to say, so we will get continuing. Like, I would like to know when things are rolling out. Like, you know, an email or something, when something new is coming so that we can be measuring right as we go along, I think would be really helpful because sometimes it'll just go under the radar, but be a big thing that
our thought process is that we would be doing at minimum quarterly reports to the board, but we can make reports that are effective and make sure we're getting that information. I think just as you are excited, we're excited to make sure that this is the right investment. Yeah.
Norm, yes, sir.
Yeah. I'd just like to motion out of the professional fees of removing the voter survey and then removing the updating of the preliminary plans for the facilities, and then we can discuss them separate.
Okay. Well, let's just discuss them.
I want to make the motion.
You want to make a motion to have a separate vote on those two items?
Correct.
Okay.
Can I ask a clarification on that?
Well, yeah. Let me make sure I understand. So what two items?
The voter survey.
Voter survey.
And then the preliminary plans for the new facility. Of professional fees.
Okay. All right. So we have a motion. Do we have a second before we discuss it? Okay. Eric seconded it. So we do have a motion on the floor to deal with those two items separately. Ron, you had a comment.
My question is, are you removing them completely from the budget, or are you removing them to discuss at a later date?
Or table them. I think we need more information for sure on this building facility. I'm okay with the rest of the budget. Those are the two things that I vote no.
Do we have the amounts that you're talking about, just so we know, the voter survey amount?
$20,000 and $25,000.
Oh, so it's $20,000 voter survey, $25,000 the plan for the facility. Okay. And that's what Mr. Tim Stewart was telling us, that we need to have plans in place if we're going to request something in the next few months, that we have a real opportunity to do that. And maybe I should just mention, Jeannie mentioned maybe service to Box Elder County. We talk about that every few meetings. And I was, again, with the Box Elder County Commissioner yesterday afternoon late, who's a strong advocate for getting Cache Valley Transit to serve the northern portion of Box Elder County, the Tremont connection. The large employers there are having a difficult time getting employees. They're wondering if Cache Valley Transit bringing people there will help them. They're wondering. So Todd is planning or has met with the mayor and some of the folks there in Tremont. And then the commissioner points out, this is Stan Summers, a gentleman that lives in North Box Elder County, quite a very active guy, said, well, it'd be nice to have the connection from North Box Elder to Brigham and, you know, around. And I guess there's still a feeling that UTA could continue to handle Brigham City South in the county. That's their service area now. A year ago, I heard from elected officials they wanted to get rid of UTA and let Cache Valley Transit do it there. But now there seems to be at least a few I've talked to say, well, we'll hope UTA will expand the service of Brigham City South.
Well, I would hope that they would come to us the same way Wellsville did if they want that service.
They want Todd to come and meet with the leadership of Tremont City right away. So
is that why we need the voter survey? Is for this? Or
No. Facility. That would if we expand service, we'd probably need a bigger facility is what we've heard.
The other comment I have is if, going along with what Tim Stewart said, if we want to be ready for when the opportunity comes for us to ask for money, mm-hmm. one, we need to have, we need to know what we're doing. We need to know what those costs are. And I made some notes here that he's talking about. One of the things that he commented on is that matching funds. You know, we have our fund that has X amount of dollars in it that we've been putting money aside for a future facility. You know, so like if we go in and we say, you know, we got $10 million in the bank, and they're saying, okay, if you've got $10 million, we can get you 20 because you already have 10, and all of a sudden now we've got the $20 million for matching funds, that helps us. So we need to update the costs and the preliminary plans for forward and ask. We've already We've already got this in place. We know what those costs are, and they're updated.
Todd, so when were the original plans done?
I believe 2010 was the last real study. Does that sound right, Curtis? I believe we purchased the land. It was either 2009 or 10, but it's been several years. And, again, we want to just update that and update the costs. So for the very reason that Ron's mentioning and that Tim was here for.
And the voter survey, I might add, we'd probably want the voter survey done later in the year to see if the advertising or marketing campaign's doing any good that way. Because Todd said that's a hope for benefit of the marketing as well. If people know what Cache Valley Transit is, they know where their quarter cent sales tax is going. So,
well, I asked that question.
I understand your concerns now. So we do have a motion and a second on the floor to delete those two items, 20,000, 25,000, voter surveys, plans for the facility, to delete them from the budget. Did we vote on that?
Norm, yeah. Is that what you asked?
Did we vote on that?
Norm, yeah. Is that what you asked? I thought you asked for them to be set aside for further consideration before we did a final vote on the budget. Was that correct?
Because I think we need to discuss it more. We don't know what the cost of this new building is. My brother just built a new...
Well, that's why you do the facility plan. Costs are different now than 10 years ago, obviously. Sorry.
Yeah, but I mean... Sorry. Because you build 120 by 200, just the utility cost is something bigger. We're worried about these expansions, but I think there's just too many variables. I don't know how we can plan on putting this big building if we're worried about all these other things. I mean, there's just if we want to put all these buses, a 40-foot bus in one, everybody's been in a parking garage. Could you imagine a bus driving around indoors? I mean, your building that you're going to house these. I mean, if we want to see what it would take to renovate this or maybe not store them indoors, I'd be more on board. But to put a 40-foot bus, a number of them, inside, I mean, your building is just so huge, it doesn't...
See Alameda County Transit District facility. Got to go see Alameda County Transit District facilities in California. They're huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's designed logistically so the buses can get in and get out, mm-hmm. and they're protected during the night. That's what they're there for. That's why you do these preliminary studies and get estimates so that you know what these facilities are going to cost.
You know, that $25,000 is a very small fee comparatively, very little compared to what could be charged for new facilities.
Well, just saying the $25,000, saying, hey, we're on board, let's build us a $20 million building. And from day one, I've been against that. I mean, if we want to do just the space we have now, if we spent $20,000 in redesigning that, I think we'd have ample enough to add more buses to it, just the square footage if it was laid out better.
Well, maybe the facility plan could address that, could they?
I don't think for that amount. I mean, that's what we're
looking
at. We've had a number of firms look at this before. Yeah, I mean, that's the reason that years ago, we looked at 15 different properties, purchased land, and we looked at 15 different properties was because we'd had numerous firms look at redesigning the current property, and it didn't work.
And the assumption is that this property could be sold once a new facility, you know, so there could be some revenues, I would assume. Yeah. We're not just going to let it rot here. So I don't know. I think we're ready to vote on this motion, if that's okay.
So I still have some more concerns with this. Also, I mean, we've already got a design that was done before.
So you're speaking for the motion. Okay. Yeah, in favor of the motion.
What's that?
You're speaking in favor of the motion. Got it.
I'm speaking in the motion normally, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think there's still just... design and come up with the cost. And basically we're saying, throw that away. We just wasted that money.
No.
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 No, we're not.
So then if we got it designed, we don't need to spend $25,000.
No, Eric. What you're doing is you're taking an existing design that was done in 2010, and you're bringing it up to today's standards. Building standards change, environmental standards have changed, money to bring it up to 2018, this money to bring it up to 2018 standards. We're not redesigning a building. We're not redoing everything all over again. We're taking what we have and bringing it up to date so that when we can move forward, we've got current standards. You don't want to go, here's 20, you know, yeah, we got the money now. Okay, now build it 2010. They got to do it all together, and that's an added cost. We're saying let's get it up to standards now so that when the door opens and we can ask for whatever million-dollar price tag we ask for, we can get and we can go into construction or go into the next phase.
Let's take a vote and see how we feel on the motion. So
Glenn has something he wants to say.
No, I just agree. We're just updating and updating what's there so that we have the plan, like Ron said, that we're ready to present that. So we have something on hand. We say we'll bring it up to date. The cost that the design said before was a certain amount. Now we're bringing it up to speed as to what it would be today so that we're ready to amount of dollars for this, X amount of dollars for this. We don't want to underestimate it and then not get enough money for it and then find out that we can't finish the project.
And this budget, if we approve this tentative budget and the final budget next month, we're not saying we're going to have a new facility, Norm. We will have another opportunity to vote on that, will we not?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. I'd like to call for a vote on the motion. The motion is, as I understand it, to delete for now those two items, the $20,000, $25,000, the voter survey, delete, the plan facility, delete right now. That doesn't say we couldn't add it back next month or in January, but for now, it's out of the budget if you approve this motion. Is that okay? Yeah. Eric, second. All in favor of the motion to delete those two items, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say no.
No.
Is there any abstentions? Okay, we kind of know where that's gone.
I'm not. Sorry.
Did you abstain?
No.
Okay, you just want to comment.
I'm not quite clear on the voter survey. Could you explain that a little more on what that is? Because I.
So again, we've done two voter surveys previously. They were about 3 years apart. It's been 2015 since the last one was completed. And honestly, it's really a way for this group, this body, as you are, to kind of be the folks that are interacting with constituents and understanding what's going on out there. It's just another source of information for you to connect to a constituency base to understand what it is that they're feeling. And so we've asked questions about Cache Valley Transit, about service, about various things as a way to get you information. So the voter survey would be another way to update that. And again, a committee of this board with staff could work on the questions. We want to keep some of the questions very similar, but some may change. But it's just a way for you to get information for your constituents. If you remember also, we use that information in other things. One of the things that Rumor was impressed with is we had a lot of information to already help them to build a baseline of what the feelings were in the valley, and it's going to be as we do the advertising of how has it changed the needle. So the voter survey would also be used as a metric for is the advertising working, is it changing things, and so again these are just tools that we use that hopefully the board would use as well in making future decisions.
You're saying the last time that was done was 2015,
and I guess. Just a minute, Sean. I guess the additional benefit of a voter survey now, as I said already, to see if the marketing is doing any good and if attitudes are changing.
It actually may be that by the time we are done, you know, I mean, once we've paid Rumor for this year, we may postpone the voter survey until 2020 just because we want to make sure it captures those
and
results.
And you can get their advice on that, I guess.
Yeah. As Roger said, I mean, we typically have tried to do those the same the same time every year, so you're getting the same, there's consistency. And so it's been done in September, usually the second or third week of September. And so, again, if this board said, you know, we want to postpone it, we want it to be later, and say, do you think there's been enough of it with rumor, and say, do you think there's been enough of an impact that we can go ahead? And so I think that, cause that decision could be made later, but having it in there gives us authorization that if we want to go forward, we don't have to come back and do a budget amendment. However, the board could say, we don't want you to do it until we've had an ability to make that decision. We're more than happy to come back to the board and say, hey, what do you think? So
I think that's good. So you're saying leave it in the budget, but you will get the approval of this group before doing it, based on your discussions with the marketing firm and that sort of thing. Does that sound good? Mm-hmm. So we'll have another chance to vote on that, even though it's sitting there and in the budget. Norm, that helps a little bit, maybe. Okay. You had a comment, Sean. I'm sorry. Sean raised his hand.
I was just wondering if what the marketing company is doing, in essence, they're taking surveys with some of their data and some of their questions. I wonder if it would be redundant.
We'll ask them that question.
Sure, yeah.
We'll ask that question. If it's redundant, we won't do it. Right?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready to vote on the original motion?
Norm's got a comment. Can
I have one more comment?
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
So since my motion to, on facilities,
yeah,
would there be enough to see if there's enough design instead of doing them all indoors to do carports? Or my biggest thing is putting buses inside. Just the amount of side. If you did carports and stuff like that, there's a lot of other issues. Things that you can do if our issue is having the buses warm. There's a lot cheaper things than to put them all inside.
And you would know about that. So you can educate us,
sure,
or the study can educate us on, is there an alternative way rather than have a huge building for the buses?
Sure. So, and again, I'm just going to go off of some of the previous information. When we did the original study, the firm that we hired was a national firm, and they found that there were, I think, five other agencies that had climates as cold as ours that did not have vehicles stored inside. For example, Park City does all of their bus storage inside. And so the facility was designed, the intent of the design was that you could do, help me, Jody or Curtis, with the thermal holes in the ground. What's that called? Put holes in the ground. What's that called? Geothermal warming, yeah. It was designed in solar panels and things like that so that you can offset the utility costs. You keep the building at about 45, 50 degrees. It's not meant to be at a comfortable temperature. It's just meant that the buses aren't going to freeze. One of the big problems with air valves and things like that where we have to wash every night is the freezing of those types of things. So again, that's part of the purpose of the study, to refresh that. Technology's improved. Things have changed. They look at what would the ongoing utility costs be, how would that function. So these are all things we want to get updated information on so that we, as has been said, know how much to ask for and also understand the ongoing costs and how's that going to be impacting our ongoing costs.
Norm, I would suggest that also you might talk to the people out at Logan City at the service center out by the dump, because they built the structure that all of the garbage trucks are indoors. And they have found that they are far more efficient in what they can do and how their routes work, because the dump trucks are housed indoors in the winter, you know, year round, but especially in the winter time.
I know my brother has a trucking company. They have 75 mm-hmm. semis, so I'm familiar with what
yeah.
they're. Part of this study, could they tell us how much longer the bus will last if they're stored indoors? I mean, it sounds like there's got to be a cost evaluation.
I think those are great questions that we would definitely ask
them.
See
if it's
that's why we want to do the update, because I think that's a great question.
And then you'll present that before we move forward.
Oh yeah, obviously the study is to come back to the board and give you information. We want to give you information from that. Yeah.
So you know what questions Norm wants asked of whomever does.
Sure.
Study.
If you want to give us some specific questions, that's great.
Okay. All right. Are we ready to vote on the motion?
That top one question, just for my own curiosity.
Okay.
$40 million facility, or do you have an idea of what range you're looking at?
That's part of this too, is to size that and make sure, do we still need that size? Do we not? But more importantly, is just the updating of the costs. When we had that done, one of the things that caused us to pause a little bit was I do believe it was $40 million. It was in that range. But we had a contractor that came to us that does tilt concrete, which is all the buildings out in that park are that's tilt concrete. They told us at that time we could do this building for $18 million. So it's one of those things where we're like, we need to look at other ways in which we can do construction. And it was the intent of a study of this scope. It's to give you an idea so that as going to be. It's to give you an idea so that as we're going to Congress and asking, we're asking the correct amount. We may find a more efficient way to build it, but we're making sure that we're asking appropriately. And then once you go into construction, that's when you really get into the details and you bid it out, and then you can find really the cost.
Okay. Anything else? Let's go ahead and vote on the motion. Can we do that? Are we ready? All in favor of the motion to approve the tentative. It says fiscal year 2019, but it's really calendar year. Our fiscal year is July or January to December. Yeah, so it's a calendar year budget for next year. All in favor of approving the budget tentatively and having another opportunity next month, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
One no. Two no's. Okay. Any abstentions? Thank you all. That was a very helpful discussion. Appreciate it, Norm and Eric and everybody. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll go ahead and talk about service expansion recommendations by Todd Butler, our general manager.
So we kind of showed this to you last month. We brought this back. One of the things, as the board's approved the governing policy manual, your global lands policy, it's given us some direction in which how we feel to expand service. And then going on with that, you also approve the interpretation of that policy. So what you have before you is what we would recommend as funds, the tax that the county passed or some other means, as funds become available, this is how we would recommend initially expanding those services, where to use those, and it's really in response to that policy that we operate during civic and business hours, and so when we look at this, we also are looking at what we could immediately do that has some relevance in this. So the first few items are the things that we don't require additional buses for, and so that's something that within the existing fleet we feel we could do. And so we've added a column here, a projected time frame of how long from the moment the board authorized us to expand that we could implement that. And that's probably the most aggressive timeline. So you can see that the first few items are just really more about growing some ridership where we know that there is some demand, but also fixing that reliability issue if we talked before. So you get down into some of the other items. You get into some services from just supplementing what's currently in, away from just supplementing what's currently in place to actually adding some new service. So a Main Street service, having a bus go up and down Main Street would be something completely new that we don't exist currently have. We have routes that touch Main Street here and there, but not that end-to-end service. And so that's that type of thing. Vouchers. We had Roger staff member. I want to say Stephanie.
Is that?
No, senior companion. I get her name wrong. Deborah.
Smith.
Yeah, Deborah, come and talk to us about that need. There's other potential opportunities where we could fund something that's beyond the current district boundaries, but still inside the county. So, something that we've looked at is how do we make the current system successful, and then how do we expand maybe beyond the current district boundaries but still in the valley, and this would be one of those types of approaches where we would be providing service. Now with the voucher type of program, the mindset is we wouldn't directly operate it, but we would reimburse volunteers and things of that nature. You get into community events. We are getting more and more events. So we do Summerfest type events. So we do Summerfest. We do the Cache County Fair. We do the Pumpkin Walk. These are those types of community events. But we're having more and more of those things that come up that where somebody says, hey, you know, we'd really like to have bus service at this event. And so what we're wanting to do is to put some money aside that would allow us to have an opportunity when those types of things come up that we would do that. We can't charter. So, again, we can't have somebody come and say, hey, we'll pay you to go and do this community event. We can't do that. So this is more of us just connecting with the community. And for us, we would develop a criteria where they'd have to be significant in nature. They'd have to impact traffic. It gives people an opportunity. We feel the current ones do that.
Jeannie? So how do you determine community event versus private event decorated like a community event?
Yeah, we still need – so, no, it's a great question. And as we get down this list, these are things that we're going to have to develop criteria. So – The top ones that are supplementing existing
right.
service, pretty
right.
easy. Some of these others, we're going to have to start developing the criteria, and we don't want to supplement a private event that is just somebody's party. But there are community events, for example, health days or black and white days or things like that, where we may say, yeah, maybe it makes sense. And we would be even looking to this board to help us identify maybe what are those potential events that we don't even know about.
Well, perhaps. You know, well, anyway, it's a longer discussion, but I did want to ask another question.
Please.
I know that there is currently in Logan, they're working on an accessibility survey, and they've done some reviews of different bus stops and the drinking fountain that's in the middle of the park with no sidewalk to it, stuff like that. Just small things. But I do think that we need to be actively engaged in providing the most accessible bus stops for all riders. And I hope that we will be actively engaged in that whole process as they identify and will schedule, because I know they're on this list, but I think we should actively work on making them as accessible as possible.
So that's a great point. That's that next one, bus stop improvements, and you're exactly right. So we have 400 bus stops, 400, I don't know the exact number, but we're close to 400, right? And so obviously in the more city of Logan, North Logan, those areas where there's a lot of infrastructure, there's a lot of sidewalks, not as big a need, but you get out into some of the more rural areas, Millville, Richmond, there's not sidewalks, so accessibility really is a challenge, and I think you're right. And that's why we put to be determined, focused, depending on the projects. I mean, I think we do need to start figuring out what are the bus stops that are highly used. We have that information, but, you know, so we look at those bus stops that are highly used, what can we do as far as infrastructure? We look at also, because we have the Call-A-Ride program for people with disabilities, but sometimes somebody could use the fixed route bus if the sidewalk was there or if there was a shelter there. And so we look at those types of things as well.
But there's also there is the sidewalk, there is the shelter, and there's a curb, and the people can't get on the bus.
Correct.
And there's no way for them to get from the sidewalk to the shelter.
Correct.
So there are a lot of, you know, you can say they don't have a sidewalk, but sometimes it's a lot more than that. It's a larger look at it,
you know,
or because I think that we need to be as accessible as we can be.
And so that's the other point of, again, and again, we are going to have to figure out how to balance that, and we'll come to you with what we think is that balance. But you're right, we need to do that because there's also, I think we have on here, maybe I didn't put it on here yet, but technology investment. So we got this website, right, out, and there's two big comments we've heard so far. There's lots of little comments, but one is, this is awesome, it looks great, love the functionality, and then the second comment is, it's too slow. We're still trying to fine-tune it's not fast yet, but we already are hearing from folks, hey, I want something on your website or an app that geolocates me where I'm at, and tells me exactly where the next bus is and how far away it is, and I don't have to think about it. It just does it for me. That's an expensive investment, and that's an expensive investment to maintain. So you have folks that are saying, hey, I'll ride the bus. I'll get out of my car if you give me that technology so that I don't have to wait at a bus stop. I really don't care about the shelter. I really don't care about the sidewalk. I just want to be right there and get there. But then we have the folks that I think Jeannie's talking about that we should be, how do we become accessible to people that this is their only choice? And so I think we're going to be constantly balancing that, but we do need to put more infrastructure out there. We need to make it
better. I want to know which bus companies in this country have that geolocating feature available to their bus riders.
There's more than you think.
Really?
Yeah. Technology is a big... It's a hard thing though, because it's an expensive investment.
I'm not sure I could geolocate myself, so.
but what we're going to continue to bring to you are opportunities that exist for us to do and have that dialogue. We will bring to you our recommendations, and again, our recommendations initially are going to be on things that we think we can implement fairly quickly. Once we start getting down into the new stuff, I think we are going to bring to you our recommendation based on your policy, but you know there's going to be some discussion there.
So we're not approving any of these on the list now. This is just to think about, and you'll bring them when you're ready to go. All right. Let's see. Board chair report. The only thing I'll mention, and Todd reminded me, tomorrow at the Cache County Fairgrounds, the new facility there at Cache County Fairgrounds, there's the Cache Business Summit. And begins officially at 9 a.m., kind of register at 8:30. There's a $25, $30 charge, probably $25 for Cache Valley Transit.
For lunch.
And so they're talking, yeah, includes lunch. And a lot of great presenters talking about growth issues in Cache County, probably the state of Utah as well. But as you know, we're experiencing pretty significant population growth. Housing affordability is an issue. They're going to talk about that, affordability and availability. And so it officially starts at 9. If you want to go, Todd said, let him know. He'll cover the cost and probably stay as long as you want. A little after lunch, you know, there's a few other sessions.
Roger, do you know when it's supposed to? I mean, I heard 8 to 2, 9 to 4, 8 to 5.
8
it's
to
all,
5 is the most recent.
It's all on the. It's on different pieces of, you know.
On the flyer, it says 9 to 4.
Yeah, but part of that's a bicycle ride, I think.
Well, so. I didn't know because I looked at Eventbrite said 8 to 5.
Yeah, I saw the agenda. Here's the agenda right here.
Whatever it is, bring your own bicycle and helmet.
So
for the ride.
Oh.
So the opening speaker
is Val Potter at 9:15.
Val Potter's starting the thing at 9 a.m. Jeff Jackson, Visionary Homes, CEO, is talking at 9:15. Cache Valley Growth Exercise with several people. Council member Tom Jensen and a few others are talking about the growth exercise. Keynote speaker is at 11:15. And he's from Norris Design out of the area somewhere. Lunch buffets at 12 noon. 1:15, the mayor's panel discussion on smart growth.
Okay.
Says Mayor Daines is there. John Drew, Providence Mayor. Jeff Young, Richmond City. 2:15, breakout sessions. You have four choices of breakout sessions. And 3:15, more breakout sessions. So
oh, okay.
It kind of depends on what you'd want to do. So,
okay.
Yeah, I would guess it would go till about 4 if you go to every single thing.
Okay.
And then the bike ride after that. So
I'm,
does
not
that help?
I'm not going to ride bikes.
Okay. So feel free, let Todd know right after the meeting if you want to go. And he'll, Cache Valley Transit will cover the costs and learn a lot about growth and what's going on in the county. Anything else we should talk about? General Manager's report.
Just a couple things.
Haven't you said enough?
I have, probably.
Oh, jeez. Go ahead.
You're so, the one with the sad wife at home.
I know, but I just want to tell you about two things maybe, or three. But so just a reminder, I think most of you have responded to Cherise, but if you haven't, December 15th, the board social and whatnot. And then I forgot to mention, but in this whole expansion discussion, I went with Lee Aaron to Millville City and met with the mayor. and the recorder. We had a great conversation. I don't know if you have anything you want to add with regard to that, but
we're going to do a survey that's going out in the mail in the utility, the water bill. So I'm excited to see the survey results. They're going to do a paper one, and then also there's a link and then the QR code. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so some of these expansion things, we're still wanting to engage cities. And, I mean, if you feel like we need to go meet with your council, your mayor, we're happy to do that. But we want to continue to get input. And then just one thing I just want to put on your radar, and this is more long term, but it reminded me of this today as I took my son to the MTC. Utah County, years ago, when I first took this position, then Utah County was not, they were wanting to figure out how Cache Valley Transit operated and how we did fare free. So they came up and they met with us, one of the leaders down there has constantly been picking our brain about how do we do things. So here about 3 months ago, they finally started the BRT, so Bus Rapid Transit. It's meant to be like a light rail, but it's on wheels, so it can move in and out of traffic. They started that down from UVU to BYU because of that corridor is just so congested. So as I was down there today, I didn't stop because my wife would have killed me, but I was watching the buses moving around and watching the construction. They're not 100% completed with the dedicated lane, but it is operating, and the buses are moving, and I think the frequency is every 7 minutes. But one of the things that was important to them was they wanted to do that zero fare. So that's a zero fare system for 3 years. They committed to that because they really need to get people out of their cars. So their main focus is grow ridership, and they've seen the success of Cache Valley Transit and our ridership, and so they're doing that. So one of the things I've talked with the UTA folks is, and sometime between January and March or April, I would like to take this board on a field trip, and so we'll get on Front Runner in Ogden, and we'll ride Front Runner down to Provo, and then get on the BRT, and we'll set up a really nice tour. But I think it would be good for this group to think about the future. We're probably several years, I mean, quite a ways away from BRT. But we do have it in the long-range plan with the MPO that we would have BRT. And again, what would be nice about that is you would have some areas where it would just be like a bus. It's just going down the road. But there might be some areas where as it comes into higher density or certain places, it might have a dedicated lane with raised platforms and infrastructure. So again, I think it's just a good opportunity for us to go down, touch it, feel it, experience it, ask a lot of questions. So I just want to put that on your radar. I think that's something we want to do the first part of next year. So anyway, I think I'm
good. Yeah, no, I think that'd be great. Anything else we ought to talk about before we adjourn? Do we have a motion to adjourn? But first of all, let me thank you all. Great discussion, a lot of good questions, a lot of good comments, and we kind of handled the tentative budget, so thank you. Motion to adjourn? Anybody? So moved. I get to do that once. Okay. We are adjourned. Thank you very much. Thank you.